John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is the word of God. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Let us pray. Lord our God, be with us as we open the word of life. We pray that it may speak to our hearts. We pray that we may take heed, that we may think on the things that are set before us, that we may be taught of thy Spirit to love the brethren. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, we ask again, as we did last week, how do you know that you are a Christian? How do you know that you are saved? John has been writing this epistle that we may have assurance. It's one of the themes of 1 John. And so he's given these tests. Last week, the test was the test of obedience. How do you know you're a Christian? You're obeying God's law. You love God's law. You love to please your heavenly Father. You desire to be obedient. You're aware of your disobedience, and the Lord grants you repentance and forgiveness. That's the Christian life. Here, John tells us the next test of love is loving the brethren. The test of salvation. You know that you're saved if you love the brothers, if you love those who are Christians as well. Joel Beakey wrote, in many ways, loving one another is the crucial test of Christian faith. Such love involves cherishing and valuing others, doing good to others, and seeking the welfare of others, without thought of receiving love in return. John stresses this same theme throughout his epistle because he knows there can be no real fellowship among believers if they have no love one for another. And that is that's a very sobering thought, that this is a test of the faith, loving the brethren. Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what thank have you? It's not hard. It's not hard to love somebody who loves you. And so he pushes everything further when he says, love your enemies. No, not even just loving the brethren. Love those who hate you and despise you. And understand that you are doing this before the Lord with no thought of anything in return. Joel Beakey says, without thought of receiving love in return. And that's difficult if you don't get anything back. We spoke about that this morning in terms of our marriage relationships. It's hard to love if you're not loved back. And that is where, beloved, you and I need the love of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. So we're going to look this evening at love and law, and then love and light. And we read about love and law in verses 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So it's not a new commandment. You've heard this before. You know this commandment of loving your brother. We find it in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, of all places. We maybe don't expect to find it in the law, but Leviticus 19:18. The Lord says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. It's interesting that he concludes it that way. Love because I am Jehovah. And then in verse 34 of Leviticus 19, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So here it's rooted in knowing God. If you know who God is, you're going to love your brother. If you know who God is and have received his love, you are going to love the stranger as well. And remember the young man who came to the Lord Jesus and said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. And what are the commandments? Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, good, you do that, and you're going to be fine. And then he comes back. Why does he ask the next question? Willing to justify himself, who is my neighbor? I don't really, you know, you're leaving the door kind of wide open. Who is my neighbor? Jesus says, the man who loved the man that everybody else hated. He was a Samaritan. The Jews hated Samaritans. They just didn't get along. There was racism on both sides, right? They didn't get along with each other. And the woman at the well really drove that home to the Lord Jesus, right? Yeah, what are you doing talking to me? You Jews hate Samaritans. And the reverse was true too. Samaritans hated the Jews. So the whole discourse there was quite an amazing moment in the history of Israel. God said, Jesus said, you're to love those whom you naturally, traditionally, historically have hated. And you're to do good to them. And that man bound up the wounds of that Samaritan in love. So there's the Old Testament. It's not a new commandment. We have it also in the New Testament. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Francis Schaeffer wrote on this verse, wrote a little booklet called The Mark of the Christian. The mark of the Christian is that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. It's to be a visible love that the world on the outside says, as they did of the early church, behold how they love one another. It was very evident. They were bound together by Christian charity, by kindness and love to each other. There wasn't a divisiveness, there wasn't a suspicion, there wasn't gossip, there was a binding together in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we begin thinking and acting like the world around us, then we're going to become divisive like they do. We have to be very, very careful of of that. We have our own history in the Bible Presbyterian Church of divisions and separations. Some of them have been doctrinal, some of them have been valid, and some of them have really been grounded in personality. Unnecessary divisions. Some of them have healed, some of them have not. Some of them resulted in other denominations. We have a large Presbyterian denomination that is suffering division. Churches have left. More churches are likely to leave. And where will they go? Of the 4011 denominations that we already have that have the name Presbyterian, it would be good if they could join with one of them. It would be good if they said, well, you know, here's somebody who we think is, but no, most likely they're going to say, no, we're going to show everybody how to do it right. We're going to, and that was why that denomination was created in the first place. There's no love amongst the brethren, and we need to generate that. Denominations aren't always a bad thing. I think especially where there's confessions there, we need to be able to know why we love one another. And it's rooted really in a good understanding of the gospel. What is the gospel? And I think we need to be really aware of how we apply that. And with love, not just with tolerance, but actively with love. You think of somebody like John MacArthur, I have serious disagreements with that man over his view of the church, over his view of the sacraments and baptism. But I love him. I've never met him. Modern technology has allowed me to hear him preach. The wonderful world we live in. But I love him. You know why I love him? Because he brings me to Christ. He teaches me about Christ. There's a lot of things I can put aside for the sake of true Christian fellowship. He's my brother in Christ. I don't have a question about that. There may be other people that I hear that I don't know so well, I might question some of those things, but does he believe the gospel? Is he, first of all, is he himself saved? Is he called to the ministry? Does he preach Christ faithfully? A number of years ago, I had someone call me up. They were looking for a church. I answered the phone. The first question she had was, do you preach Christ crucified? It's, what a great question. Do you preach Christ crucified? She wanted to know that. It was in her heart. It's a desire of her heart. It's loving the truth. When you love the truth, it's easier to love the brethren. If you love Christ, it's easier to love his disciples. We fail often in this area because we don't really love Christ, or we believe that we deserve the love of Christ. And once you deserve anybody's love, but especially if you think you deserve the love of Christ, you really don't understand the gospel. But it's easy for us to presume upon that love because it is so persevering, it is so vast, it is so intense, and our sinful hearts just make a lot of assumptions that we have to be careful not to make. So the Lord Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. It's the mark of the Christian. The Apostle Paul said, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So here it is. It's not a new commandment. The Apostle Peter said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." In the next chapter of 1 John, he says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." So here's all the apostles, Moses, all of the scriptures agree. We're to love one another. It's a commandment. You know, we have a strange view of the commandments sometimes. We think, somehow, people call this the 11th commandment. We think somehow that this is some new commandment. As long as it releases me from the 10 commandments, then I can do that. I can love. It's not a problem. I can love. I love to love. And actually, we love to be loved. But it's a commandment, just like the 10, that you cannot keep in the flesh. It's a commandment. You see that word? Why are people so offended when we use that word about the Ten Commandments? But we have a love commandment, and everybody says, "Well, that's just fine." And everybody quotes it and talks about it, and they may treat each other well, but they don't often treat Christ very well, which is the substance of that covenant love, that relational love, is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, this is a commandment. We have to recognize that you're unable to perform obedience to this commandment, just like you're unable to obey the other 10 commandments. And people talk about the fourth commandment. "Oh, that's so hard to keep." You know, it's that is really intense. As if the other 9 are not intense. "Oh, I can do the other 9, but I can't do the fourth." No. Then you don't. If you have that view of the fourth commandment, you ought to have that same view of the other 9 commandments. They're impossible to keep, and you need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot perform that in the flesh. But beloved, if we love the Lord Jesus, if He has loved us, you do have the Holy Spirit. You do have power and grace to draw upon to perform all of these commandments. So it's not a new commandment. It's not something that's in the New Testament, but not in the Old Testament. And we read that evidence, that moving evidence of it, and I hope you were moved. You could tell I was moved. And it just is amazing that Joseph would speak that way to his brothers when we would say, "You have every right to be vengeful. You've got power in your hands now, Joseph. Just grab it. Make those guys bow down at your feet. Make them grovel for the way that they treated you. Remember that dream you had about the stars? Yeah, this is it. This is your moment. This is your hour." Joseph is just filled with love for his brothers. How can I do that to them? We're flesh and blood. Most of them had different mothers, but we're flesh and blood. We have the same father. I can't do this. I love you. It's beautiful. A beautiful picture of peace and love, reconciliation that arises out of that. So here John says you need to love the brethren. It's a mark that you're in the same family. You've been adopted into the same family. And often we think back at relationships we had with our own siblings, which maybe weren't all that pleasant. And it's true that the better you know somebody, sometimes the more you're prone to fight. And often as you mature, you realize those differences were petty. And you get older and you get closer. You get older and you love them more. And you, because you learn what a relationship is. You learn that you made difficulties needlessly. We need to learn that every day, beloved. We need to learn how to love. It's not something we're ever going to do perfectly, but it's something that God requires you to aspire to desire in your heart, to love the brethren. So John says that this is true of you and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. So it is a new commandment because it's framed, not so much in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it's framed by the visible love of the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience to the law, his love upon the cross, his sustaining power by the Holy Spirit. He loves his people. And it's very present and evident. It's explained in the Gospels. It's been explained here throughout the epistles. And now John, at the end of his life, is saying, yeah, you need to love the brethren. So this is true of Christ and his disciples. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This thing is true in him, in Christ, and in you. Christians are no longer in darkness. They no longer delight in sin. They commit sins, but they don't delight in them. It brings grief to their hearts, brings sorrow to them. And the true light now shines. There now in the light as he is in the light. And we saw that in chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So this is where we bring in the idea of the light. Love and the law, but love and the light as well. We are walking in the light. We're aware of the light. John says that hypocrisy betrays you as a sinner. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Everybody likes to talk about the light. We're walking in the light. We are in the light. But John says, if you hate your brother, you're actually in darkness. You can talk all you want, but it has to be evidenced by loving your brother. And you're actually walking in darkness because you're not applying the truth of God's word to your life. And this may have been directed to the Gnostics. A lot of the New Testament is written to address a false view of the gospel. And they would say, well, as long as you have this special knowledge of Christ, the special knowledge of salvation, it doesn't really matter how you live. There was almost a separation between good or the flesh and the soul. So as long as it's good with your soul, you're going to be all right. You don't have to, you can say that you're walking in the light, and that's what they were doing. But when they didn't love the brethren, John says you're actually walking in darkness. So you can pretend that you have the light, pretend that you have true knowledge, but you're actually walking in darkness. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, what this means is that you and I can only be happy about the fact that we are Christians if we find this loving, forgiving spirit within ourselves. It is idle for us to say that we know that God has forgiven us if we are not loving and forgiving ourselves. People who say they are in the light but who hate and do not forgive their brother are in darkness even now. Men and women who have seen the truth, those who are in the light, have seen themselves and others all under the law of the love of God. And having realized this love, which has pardoned them in spite of their unworthiness, they are prepared to do the same to others and to love them and rejoice with them in this common salvation. It's a reflection of who you are in Christ, what the gospel is, how you understand what Christ has done for you. And Jesus spoke about that so very much. We're very, very prone to fail in forgiveness. And we need the constant work of the Spirit, the help of the Lord. And isn't that exactly, do you feel Peter's anguish and maybe anxiety when he says, Lord, how often should we forgive? And seven times in a day? And Jesus says, 70 times seven. And the disciples say, Lord, help our unbelief. Increase our faith is what they say there. Increase our faith. You see how they see and understand that they're unable to do this? Christ, this is beyond our ability. We thought we were being generous to forgive seven times in one day. And Jesus says, you haven't even started yet. And the disciples say, increase our faith. You see the heaviness of this commandment? Do you see the need for you to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, increase my faith? This is more than I can do, and often more than I'm willing to do. But I hear you telling me to do it. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your power to forgive, to love the brethren who maybe are not so loving to me. But I need to actively exercise love towards them. Not just be complacent about them, but actively love them. And that is, it's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. We can't do it without the strength of the Lord. So love is essential to the Christian. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So if you love your brother, it's an evidence that you're abiding in the light, you're walking in the light of the gospel, and you're eager to know who is your brother, not just within a congregation, but in this wider world in which we live in, when we have many denominations, and some more faithful than others, and others less faithful, as our confession says. And where do we evaluate that? We can't just say, well, they all have a right to their opinion. We evaluate it by the light of the Word of God. Are they Christians? Do they trust in Christ alone for their salvation, apart from any of their own works? Then we have fellowship with them. We may be in a different stage of maturity than they are, even as a denomination. You might say, well, you know, they don't understand certain things the way that I do, but they love the gospel. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't your heart just warmed by that? You feel a connection with them. One of the delights that we've had over the years of traveling and going into places and meeting people, and you either have an affinity with them or you don't, but they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a connection there. There's a love for the brethren. And it is more difficult to love those who you know more intimately. John says, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. There's no, literally no scandal in you. You don't stumble and you don't cause others to stumble. So there's the love of the brethren that is caring for the souls of others, also caring about the witness and testimony that this is. A reminder that Jesus himself said that the world has a right to judge your life. And that's humbling, isn't it? The world says that the church is full of hypocrites, but they never think about the world as being full of hypocrites. And it's very, very humbling, isn't it, when an unbeliever comes to you and says, that's not how a Christian should live. And you know that's true. He doesn't even love the Lord. And what do you want to say? You have no right to judge. You don't know what's going on here. And sometimes we have to say, you're right. I didn't behave the way a Christian should behave. And it's very, very humbling for the Lord's people. John is saying that if there's hatred for a brother, it's going to cause others to stumble. This place ought to be a place of love, of peace, of unity, striving towards the gospel, the hope of the gospel, striving towards faithfulness in the gospel. It ought to be a place that is filled with love. And the love is defined by the Lord Jesus. It's defined by the gospel. It's defined by the truth, not by our emotions, not by our feelings. We've allowed Hollywood to define love because we've abandoned God's word. But if we just read the scriptures, everything that you love is going to be affected. It's going to change your understanding of how God loves you and under what circumstances even he loves you. James Smith said, "The true light shines around us now mildly, clearly, and constantly. It shines to display God's free grace, to enable us to walk in comfort, to work with pleasure, to fight with confidence, to fly with certainty, and to go home with satisfaction." Does the true light now shine? Then let us be thankful, for multitudes are still sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. Let us improve our opportunity, walking in the light as God is in the light, and living in fellowship with him. We're fellowshipping with the Lord. If we're receiving the love of the Lord, giving the love of the Lord, John is going to say later, we love him because he first loved us. The gospel shows us what love is. We have a long ways to go before we really show forth love to others the way Jesus has showed forth love to you and me, beloved. We think that we comprehend something of his love. There's so much more. You believe, beloved, that it's going to take all of eternity, time without end, for you to really appreciate the love of God. You're going to wallow in that love, delight yourself in that love. You're going to wonder at his forgiveness over and over again. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful to just be in that love unhindered by sin. John says that hatred in Christians is very dark. Verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." He's in darkness and he walks in darkness. Isn't it interesting that the Apostle John uses the term brother here? Brother. I think this has to do with our covenant community as well. We have we entered into a relationship. We call one another brother. Are we actually brothers? And we ought to love one another. That's evidence. So here somebody is, in a way, John is saying, if you don't love that brother, you're not a brother. Isn't that kind of the logical effect of what he's saying here? But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. The darkness is the place where the gospel doesn't exist, where God, who is light, isn't present. And he is in darkness and he walketh in darkness and knows not whither he's going. He doesn't know, he doesn't think about eternity. On the one hand, you can say, well, he's in darkness, he doesn't know where he's going, he's feeling his way around there. I think that is there too, but he doesn't know where he's headed. He doesn't know that he's headed for eternal destruction instead of eternal glory. He may confess that with his mouth, but his heart, he needs to love his brother especially. And his darkness has blinded his eyes. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And Jesus, the light of the world, said that often to the Pharisees, didn't he?
you're in darkness. Oh, the Pharisee said, are you blind? Are we blind also? John 9, when he healed the man born blind, are we blind also? Yeah, Jesus says, you say that you see, and that's your problem. You have to admit your blindness in order to recognize that you need sight from the Lord. So here, beloved, we have this desire within the hearts of his people. You know something of your unloving heart, of your need to love the brethren. That's what we need. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to love one another, to look for opportunities to serve and love one another. Because it's very, very difficult. Difficult to love somebody that nobody else loves. It's difficult to love others when you feel as though you're not loved. But Jesus says, you're to love. And that love is to arise out of a firm understanding that you are loved of God in Christ Jesus. The only place where God's love is found in the earth is in Christ Jesus. We talk about his love generally. We talk about people doing good and kindness. We try to bind together the churches organically, like the World Council of Churches, and say, here, we're going to bind ourselves together so that in our unity, men are going to see our unity and believe. No, that doesn't mean anything. You can be kind to one another. You can be kind to unbelievers. But that's not the unity here that Jesus is talking about. We're to love one another with a love that understands the love. What is that love, beloved? The essence of it is that you are undeserving of that love. It's like Joseph's brothers knew that they didn't deserve the kindness that he's shown them. They didn't deserve to have their own land in Egypt, didn't deserve to be fed by Pharaoh's bounty, but they received it. They received it gladly. They received it joyfully. And beloved, we need to be so conscious and aware of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been shed abroad upon your heart so that you can love others, that you can love one another. You say, I really have difficulty loving my brother. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you loved? Have you been loved? That Savior will give you strength to love others. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come unto thee this night confessing that we ourselves are unloving. We pray that thou wouldst heal broken relationships. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst heal relationships that we feel even that we have broken. Lord, forgive us. We pray that we may know thy strength to love one another, to love the brethren, even those who don't gather here to fellowship with us in this place. To love those who are unlovely and unlovable. Lord, exercise that love within us. Humble us before thee. Make us truly to be loving. Even as we leave this place, Lord, may we meditate upon thy wonderful, sovereign, delightful love towards us in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.